Thank you for being part of our community. Welcome to Digital Parenting with me, your host, Evelyn Kasina. And I know we are just about to get into the season of Christmas where we will be binging on unhealthy food. My guest today is Christy, and she runs a business called Clean Eating with Christy. I know we will be eating a lot of bad food, and then come January, we will be saying, you know, we are going into a cleanse and we want to lose all the Christmas weight and all this kind of stuff. But the twist about today's podcast is that Christy is going to be helping us see how we can manage to bring bonding from the kitchen and helping our children grow independence and confidence from the kitchen. I know those are not new words, but when the kitchen comes in, how do we connect that? Let me invite Christy. Thank you so much for being part of our podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is a real treat for me. Thank you.
Do you remember any Swahili words from your staying in Kenya?
Of course, I remember Jambo, right?
Jambo
and Kwaheri. Those are my big ones. But that's it. I use it a lot.
Well, I will say karibu, which is welcome, and just introduce yourself and tell us why nutrition.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, so Christy from Clean Eating with Christy, and I am a mom. I have two daughters. I have a 23-year-old and an 8-year-old. So 15 years in between, and quite honestly, they are my inspiration. They are my why. And when I first started my health journey, my oldest, she was 3, and I was a single mom with her. And that's when it really all started, because I wanted to be a better model for her. I wanted her to see me making good choices. I also wanted to make good choices for her. And at the time, I had probably gained about 50 or 60 pounds. And I just, you know, you look at yourself and you don't like who you see and who that person is. And so she was my driving force to really just trying to find myself in my own personal life, but also in my health and what that meant for me. Because there's so many different ways that we can take it. And like you said, with the cleanses and the detox and, you know, the fad diets and, you know, here in the US, there's just so much that we can do. And what I soon realized was I wanted something that was sustainable for me, because I was a single mom. I didn't have a lot of money to be able to buy organic food. And, you know, I didn't have a garden. So like that wasn't an option for me. So what I really had to do was figure out what worked for me and what works and worked back then. So I've just continued the same thing as keeping everything simple. I eat as clean as possible. So, you know, just meaning to the source of the food, whether it be animal, whether it be plant, whatever that is, trying to keep from there. And then just developing very simple routines and habits in the kitchen that I can use to prepare myself for the week so that I'm not snacking and grabbing and kind of doing these things here and there. It's been exciting for me because my oldest, who still eats like, you know, she prefers chicken nuggets and french fries and pizza because those were typical things that I served her when we were growing up. Now my youngest, my 8-year-old, I completely changed everything and my philosophy and my method and my way of doing things in the kitchen with her when she was a baby. And it's so amazing to see how when you start at the beginning and when you really start incorporating the little ones in the kitchen with you, how they are open to new foods and trying new foods. And it's not a fight every day and it's not a battle. And it's just easier as a family. So that's, you know, now my inspiration is my little one, because I've seen the difference of when I bring her into the kitchen and when I pull her into the kitchen, really the foods that she's eating and just the difference that it makes for her. So they're both my reasons why, a completely different reason why, for each of them, but they've brought me to this point as well.
It's an amazing thing when you're having your children in the kitchen. I have a 10-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. I find myself having, you know, different kinds of bonding sessions with them. So my son would want to help me cut stuff, but then my daughter would want to do a lot of the salads. But by the time we are serving the salad, the half of the bowl is gone already. I find that it's amazing, because even when we go to restaurants, she keeps asking for vegetables and people ask me, she's just 7, how is she eating vegetables? And it's because I didn't realize until, you know, I thought of having you that being with them in the kitchen is actually a very big factor, you know? And
huge.
I want to hear from you, was it difficult with your older one, just trying to bring her into the kitchen than your younger one?
Yeah, so unfortunately, my older one, she's seen me cook and she knows, right? So like, and she's good about it, but I was worried. So the difference between the two of them, right? One of the big differences, I was working full-time, like 50 hours a week plus when my oldest, it was just her and I. And so a lot of my time in the kitchen was spent at night, like after she was in bed, because I was trying to get things ready for the next day and, you know, trying to prep. So now with my youngest one, she sees me. So now my business, you know, I work from home and this is what I do. So she sees me all the time and she knows what, you know, what I do. So my schedule is not as near crazy as it used to be. And I have more time in the kitchen and I can do different things. So it's just really amazing to see the two, you know, the difference. Like my older one, she knows, and you know, that's kind of it. It's like when you're younger, right? And you see your mom in the kitchen and you know she's making something, but you're not in that part of it. Where my younger one, you know, just to give you an example, like the other night I was making dinner and she said, "Mom, I'm bored," right? Which is typically what they say, right? So, "Mom, I'm bored." And I had two pomegranates that I had bought, but I hadn't peeled them yet or taken the seeds out. So I pulled up her stool beside me and I was like, "Here, come cut the pomegranates for me and, you know, take the seeds out." So while I was, you know, stirring whatever I was making and making dinner, she was alongside of me taking the seeds out of the pomegranate. And then at, like you said, right, she was eating probably about half the seeds that she was taking out. It's kind of like snacking before dinner. But that experience I never had with my older one because I just didn't have that time. And I also wasn't aware, I think at that point, of how important that was. Otherwise, I would have shifted some things, you know, to make them a lot more. But now I see, so my little one, you know, and she knows what pomegranate seeds are, right? And she loves them and she eats them and those are her favorite things. And most people probably wouldn't think of that. They probably would say, oh, you know, go play with, you know, go watch TV or go watch an iPad or whatever. And I just like to, as much as that opportunity is, bring her alongside of me. And then, you know, then she's bored again after the pomegranate is done and we have to come up with something else. But it's just that true experience and showing them, because those are the lifelong skills too. When she gets out on her own, I want her to know all of these things and to do these things. My oldest calls me in the grocery store and she says, "Mommy, you know, I'm going to make this for dinner tonight. What do I need?" Right. And so then I go grocery shopping with her on the phone while she collects the things. I want my little one to have different things than my older one, right? And be able to equip her. So I kind of see her as my second chance. I'm learning things through her. I'm able to teach other moms what I didn't do with my older one, with my younger one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that piece where you say you're looking at it as a second chance, because here's the thing. I don't know about your culture, but in my culture, and this I think is something we need to change, we are told even from a very early age that the kitchen is the woman's space, right?
Yeah.
And you see men getting into the kitchen and then people from like an older generation will be looking at you like, what is that guy doing in the kitchen? Right. I mean, I've had my mom look at me with those side eyes and I'm like, when my husband wants to fix himself a cup of coffee, I mean, I really don't have to go and do that for him because he can do it. But then also I have this notion that my son should be able to see that the whole entire house actually is for everybody, but specifically the kitchen, because there is, you know, the cultural aspect of it. He can go to the kitchen, and I've been asking them, especially now that they're on holiday, but breakfast is your thing, you know. You wake up late, fix yourself breakfast. You were to wake up early, fix yourself breakfast. I know what I want to eat. If you want to eat something different, you know, be independent. And
right.
I wanted to find out now, how can we cut out this, you know, very bad culture that the kitchen is a woman's space, and show our children that they can confidently enjoy being in the kitchen. You know, it's not a chore. How can we help them have that confidence?
Yeah, I love that. It's such a great question. And it really is it is that feeling of confidence. So, you know, one of the things is that I find is with moms specifically and women, right? We feel like we are the ones who have to be in the kitchen. We're responsible for the meals. We're responsible for lunches, all of those things. And so it becomes very oppressive for us to be in the kitchen, and we start to resent it when everybody else is outside of the kitchen. And then we feel like we're spending hours in the kitchen and we don't want to be there. We want to be doing other things. So one of, like, it starts really with obviously us being not like hating the kitchen, right? We also have to make it inviting. So to start with, one of the things that I love to do is I love to bring music into the kitchen. So, you know, if it's not close enough to like the TV and you can have music on in the TV in the background, like have a stereo, have something that you can listen to music to, because once you start, like music is a common between any culture, right? And any language, you hear the beat, you start to dance, you can start to cut with it. And so I like to bring in music with like that my daughter likes. I'll ask for what she wants to listen to, right? And Christmas time now is there's so many fun Christmas songs out. And to bring that energy into the kitchen and to dance in the kitchen and make it a place of joy, make it a place of not, you know, hating to be in there, I think is very important, number one. And then number two is, like you said, to bring them alongside and say, hey, you know what? Like, I'd love to play a game with you, but, you know, let's get this stuff done in the kitchen faster. Can you help me so we can get there quicker, right? And so one of the things that I like to do is we have tools in the kitchen that we use. We have the knives, we have like all of those, you know, the mixing, the spatulas, all of those things. They make kits size as well. And so I strongly, strongly encourage moms to have the same things that they have for their kids so that you can give your child a cucumber. They can cut the cucumber. You know, your 7 and 10 year old definitely are old enough to do that. And they make, I don't know. So like, I'm assuming that you probably can get similar things to what we have here, but they make very dull knives, but they still cut through things and they're almost like silicone. Yeah. And so that's what, like, I have a whole set for my daughter and I'll say, okay, here you go. I give her a cutting board, myself a cutting board. And I'm like, okay, you know, help me cut up whatever it is for salad or, you know, and she will cut. It's not perfect. And it, like, I'm not going to win a contest for it, but guess what? I'm teaching her how to cut. She's alongside of me. And what's happening then is the responsibility is kind of being taken off of my shoulders as well, right? Because I'm giving her something to do that helps me. And then she feels proud because of what she did, right? So there is a circle of it. And while it will take time, because if the children aren't used to being in the kitchen, it probably will be something that you have to encourage them. But what I've also noticed too is if they have somebody to present the finished product to, that pride and that confidence level grows tremendously. Yeah. You know, so making a salad for dinner, like ripping apart the lettuce, like anything that's not technical, right? And that has to do with a lot of like intricate things, because a salad is a very simple thing to do, ripping the salad up, chopping the vegetables, but presenting that in the middle of the table. And I think I remember the first time that my daughter did that with my husband, and she was like, Daddy, look, I made this salad tonight for dinner. And she even named it. She called it a rainbow salad because we had talked about, you know, all of the colors.
All the colors. So
she went through the rainbow and she picked every single color, something. She even put blueberries in it because we didn't have anything blue. So she put some blueberries in it because she needed something blue. But to her, that was her product, right? Her masterpiece. And she was like, look, I made a rainbow salad for dinner. And for her to be able to present that. And then also too, right? We have to encourage that and let them know what an amazing job that was. So that next time it comes up again, they have that reference point of, it was a good thing in the kitchen. We had fun. This is what I made. This is what I can do next time. It's definitely a process. It's not going to happen overnight. But
I agree with you. I remember yesterday we were making lunch and my daughter's hair was being made. And so my son asked me, can I join in the kitchen? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I was peeling potatoes. So he told me he used the word shave. So I was like, you want to shave the potatoes? And he did, I think, 2 or 3 potatoes. And he was so impressed with himself. And I think the whole entire day, he kept saying that, you know what? I participated in this meal. And I feel like that is confidence in itself. And also having to have conversations like, so where did you learn how to do this? Did your mom teach you? And you share stories, you share experiences. I keep telling them sometimes I get into the kitchen and I just wing things up and I just create recipes from my head. It's like, mom, so you must be very creative. And I tell him, you know what? Life is about being creative. You win some, you lose some. And when you win, you really celebrate because you're like, I had no clue what I was doing. And that is, I feel like that is teaching them also how not to follow script, just be independent, just think about something and it might be good, but it might fail. But if it fails, did you enjoy the process? Absolutely.
Yes.
I love that part. And I'm feeling now having this conversation with you will encourage parents to bring their kids into the kitchen. I know sometimes you don't like the mess, but the mess is part of the fun, right? Right.
And then, you're teaching them the one thing that I think is really, really important in growing up, I didn't help my mom a lot in the kitchen. So I think that's kind of where this comes from too, is that we were always presented with what's for dinner, right? So here's what's for dinner. We didn't have a choice. There was no choice. It was what's for dinner and you're going to eat it. And there wasn't a lot of the what happened before that. How did it get to this point? And, what did that look like? And so all along the way, instead of just presenting your children with broccoli, right? Cooked broccoli on the plate, they can actually see what it looks like. They can cut it. They can, know that it's done in a roasted way, in a sauteed way. So that, like you said, when you get in the kitchen and you want to be creative and you have these things, you've had a background experience of, oh, I can do this with this, so maybe it will taste good like this. Whereas if you don't have that, a lot of the women that I work with, that's what keeps them, that's one of the big things that holds them back, because they didn't have anybody to model or to show them in the kitchen how to do things. So then it becomes very overwhelming and almost frightening for them because they don't want to make a mistake, right? I don't know how this is going to taste. Whereas if you've had that time and that touching the food, I think that's a really big thing too, is just not being afraid of if it's green or purple or red, just being able to touch it and know all of those things help us learn to navigate different recipes and, different things that we do in the kitchen when we get older.
So you and I have something in common, that we work from home. So we could say, quote unquote, we have some time. So we just have extra time to, spend some time in the kitchen and stuff like that. So what about a mother or a parent who feels like they have to work the whole day, and when they come home, they're really tired? And I think, and I know this is the same case for you. We have so many ready-to-eat foods, even in the aisles in the grocery stores, where you just need to come and put it in the microwave. It's 2 minutes and you have a whole meal, a whole ready-made meal. That has made us really lazy. That's one thing. And also, it takes away that joy of making food from scratch. But what would you tell a parent who feels, I really do not have the time of day. What can I do so that I can try and, create something with my child? What would you tell them?
Yeah. So, I can totally relate to that as well, because while I work from home now and I'm so fortunate and I really am very blessed, there was a time where that wasn't me and I was commuting an hour a day or an hour in the morning and an hour at night. And so sometimes I didn't get home until 7 o'clock at night. And those are the nights where you're like, I can't do it. We're just going to order pizza and call it a day. But what I learned and what I still do now, even though I work from home, because it works and because I know the system and I just know the less stress that it is I will choose 3 or 4 meals. And I usually do dinner, because that's an easy meal to plan and everybody's home. 3 or 4 dinners that you can plan ahead of time, which means if your work day or your work week starts on Monday, take some time Saturday or Sunday to think of a few meals that you can have during the week. And one of the things that I like to empower moms with is that we truly are the CEOs of our kitchen and of our home. So by that, it means we know what activities our families are having. And we know the nights where, everybody's got soccer practice and flute practice and everything else, and we're not going to be home. So those nights we can't plan huge dinners. Those are going to be very, very quick nights, like a taco night or a meatloaf or, something like that. But being able to look at your week ahead of time before you get there makes a big difference, because you can then say, okay, I could get this ready, right? on Sunday afternoon, I could get that ready so that on Tuesday night I can have, right? I can chop up some vegetables. I can marinate the meat. Sometimes it's even just as much as doing that, getting part of the dinner prepped, because one of the really, really time sucking things when it comes in the kitchen is any chopping, right? Take all of our time, and they're time suckers. And that's one of the reasons why the processed and the, you know, the packaged meals are so great, because we don't have to do anything. We just have to take off the wrapper. Yeah. But if you can, like, truly, so coming home from the supermarket, I will cut my celery. I will make sure that, like, I've already maybe cut some peppers up for the week that I can use, because I can use those as snacks. Pineapple, I'll have my pineapple cut. I'll cut my, you know, mangoes if I'm bringing them home. I will, you know, like, I will do things when I come home from the supermarket before I put the food away to have it ready for the week. Because that's the other piece too, is you may have good intentions. And if you just put all of your food away without getting it ready that night, when you come home and you're exhausted, you don't want to take that, you don't want to take, you know, the food out and cut it. Whereas if it's already cut, we've already kind of moved ourselves ahead. So that's a big piece, just kind of taking a step back and asking yourself, what can I do today that is going to help me and save me time during the week? Because we don't often think ahead like that. And so it just is a moment of being aware and like, okay, this is what my schedule is like. What can I do today to help me eat better, but also to help me save time during the week so that I'm not feeling so stressed?
Is it true that eating healthy needs, it has to do a lot with your personality, in terms of if you're such a random sanguine, you really can't eat well, because if today you just feel like eating healthy or clean and pizza comes to mind, that's what you're going to eat. Is there anything wrong with having spontaneous junk?
Well, so what happens is our body craves what we eat, right? So just like you said with your daughter eating vegetables and actually asking for vegetables, right? That's because she's eating vegetables. We don't, you know, a lot of times when we're caught in this kind of cycle of like processed food and takeout and, you know, ordering, even though we might think that we are eating healthy, what happens is our cravings are coming from what we're feeding our body. And it takes actually 4 months for our cells to regenerate in our body. So if you think about that, having a salad one day out of the week really is not going to change the output of like our body. That is why it's so difficult for us to see results if we are just having a salad a couple times a week and, you know, we think we're eating healthy and then we're like, why is my body not responding? What is happening? Why am I not losing weight? It's because we are continuing to eat, you know, the other foods. So in the beginning, when I start working with families, when I start working with women, first of all, it's a process. We have to get our taste buds used to the fact that we are eating cleaner food. It's less sodium, you know, less of the ingredients, because you control that when you're home, right? That's the amazing part of cooking from home, is you get to control those ingredients. And what you find is your body will start to make those changes because you are doing it consistently. It's like going to the gym, right? You can't get huge muscles if you're not going to the gym and doing it consistently. You can't do it one day and say, oh, that's it. Like, you know, here I am. So it's consistently. And just, you know, consider those cells in our body. If we're feeding them pizza and we're feeding them, you know, all this fried food and everything like that, that's what's regenerating in our body, right? Because that's what the new cells are bringing in. So that's where the inflammation comes in, and the bloating and the gassiness. Like, there are just so many health issues that can, you know, come from that, as opposed to, you know, just taking an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes during the weekend to figure out for the week how you can set yourself up. It's a really, really big difference, and you will start to notice over time.
And so for me, who wants, I want to start eating clean, and not because January is approaching. I just want to start eating clean.
So very, very basic. And one of the, you know, it's always a big thing. January comes up, it's New Year's resolutions. I want to start eating clean. I want to start eating better. And while that's great, and I love that, it is something that is simple enough that you can do it all year, so you don't have to wait till January again, right? To be able to do it. So to start with, one of the very best things that you can do is make sure that you are drinking enough water. That's like 100%. You know, oh, look, I just gave myself a thumbs up. That's 100% is drinking water, but also to adding vegetables into your meals every day. Yes. So, and I will eat vegetables at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That is just something that I have done it over the years, and I've realized that it works out really well for me. And so if you're eating vegetables maybe only at dinner now, then start adding them into lunch. And then once you're comfortable doing that, then add them into breakfast. And what you will start to notice is the more times you do that, the more your body is going to get used to it. And you're going to start craving those vegetables, which will overtake all of the other stuff. So water and adding vegetables are my, like, one of my, my bases for how I, you know, help you start doing that, start eating cleaner. Is those are two of the ways that anybody can do it from home. You don't need anything special at all. You just need water and vegetables.
What about sugar? Do we need to either reduce or cut out sugar?
You should, right? So there's so many things that sugar is in. If it's coffee, if it's tea, you know, chai, I know is big.
Yes.
And soda, anything like that. And obviously, the more sugar you have, our body craves sugar. So you can start to cut back with that. Again, I am not a big, like, I don't believe, because it hasn't worked for me, and I've seen so many people it hasn't worked for, you can't do anything cold turkey and expect it to last. It has to be something that is gradual, because this is a lifestyle, right? Yeah. So it's a lifestyle of clean eating. It's a lifestyle of making better choices. So start to cut back, right? And then again, when you're going back to clean eating, you're going back to really the basis of where the food came from. So if you're buying soda, it's not clean at all, because you cannot, like, you can't trace it, right? Because it came from a plant, like a manufactured plant. So like, if you need something sweet, that's where you could do like, you know, the dried fruit. That's at least closer than, you know, something else with that, but try to get as close as you can. But again, when you look at your meals for the day, it helps to write it down too, to see actually what you are eating and where that sugar is, and where are those meals where you are feeling like, I could do better. And just like do some readjusting with that. I like to write things down and to see them, because it also holds us more accountable for what we're eating when we have to write it down.
I remember when I kept telling my children, you know, we keep having this saying that, you know, when you eat too many sweets, you will keep visiting the dentist. And then my son one day asked me, but mommy, who buys us this very many sweets? And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm the one who buys the sweets. So it's just a matter of no sweets, right? So I just remove that from the grocery. And I also make sure I'm very specific when they go to the parties, especially birthday parties and stuff like that. I tell them, try not to take too much soda. If you have to take soda, just dilute it with some water, because I know what happens when kids go to parties. There's cake, there's sweets, there's biscuits. So I've decided with my children that we will be having treats when they're having parties, because then also I can't really control what they eat in other people. But then I'm going to bring us...
Well, I was just going to say too, right? We're all human, and we want to make sure that, because the other thing is, if you completely restrict something, either from your own life or from your family's life, once they go out somewhere else, right? It's like, look what I get. So it's a matter of balance. And I love that conversation that you have with them. And you're like, okay, you know, we're not going to have this at home. This is something that we don't do. But when you're at the party, you know, and that's the other thing too, is we forget that our children are old enough to have these conversations with us, and to be able to explain, you know, this is why you feel this way after you have sugar, as opposed to, you know, something else. And we have to help them understand that when they're young, that also too, this is why. So having those conversations with them are so important. And I love that. That's really important to have as a mom.
Yeah. So how do we How do we encourage parents who feel like they're not really at home and they would want to do some of these things with their children in terms of bringing technology into the kitchen alongside with? I know there are parents who are not together, so children are from one house to another, but I want to feel like I want to bond with my children, and probably if they're doing certain things, I want to be part of it. How do we encourage technology to come in?
Yeah, I love that. Actually, we used this during the pandemic here, where we were separated, and my father, he actually lives in Florida, so it's quite a ways from us. We don't see him as often, and he likes to be in the kitchen and he likes to cook. And one of the things actually that I did with my little one was, while they were home from school last year during the pandemic, she would have cooking classes with her grandfather once a week, and he would find something to make, and then on Zoom we would set the camera up. I would get he would send the list of ingredients, so we would go shopping for the list of ingredients, and then they would cook together over Zoom. And that, you know, they still can have a conversation. You're still kind of in the kitchen. And I think now children are so used to FaceTiming and, you know, Zoom. It's like, it's almost like a norm now. And so to use that in the kitchen, or even to, you know, we've used it before where we call some of our family members when my little one is in the kitchen and we're like, hey, look what she's making now, right? And like FaceTiming with them. So just having that as part of a daily thing. So it's not like, oh, I'm in the kitchen, like this is completely separate. No, it's acceptable, right? It's perfect. Also taking pictures, right? Taking pictures of what they created, and maybe even, you know, like I know, again, in Google, my daughter, she loves to create Google Docs, right? She's 8. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. She knows how to do that now. It's amazing. It's amazing. But she'll take some of the pictures then and like make a Google Doc out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And then she can share that with whomever. So whatever they're passionate about and whatever it is that they really like to do, you know, encourage that. And even there's so many games out there now too that have to do with cooking and baking. Like she's downloaded them too on the iPad. And, you know, it's a matter of like making a cake and mixing the ingredients together and what goes together and what doesn't. So I think it's just even those things, and then allowing them to test it out in the kitchen. Sometimes she does, and I'm like, that wasn't the best choice, but okay. So yeah, there's so many different ways to use it. And I love that technology has moved to that place of it being pretty adaptable to be able to move to anywhere in the home.
I actually found that this pandemic period really also helped us think outside the box, because last year when we were homeschooling, some of the teachers would tell us, can you demonstrate making a meal that you love? And at that point, we put out the ingredients, and my son and my daughter would just keep saying, we are doing this, we're making this. I would make videos, and then once that is done, we would post like on social media, my social media, would post the end product. But then also every time they would talk to the grandparents, they would be very quick to say, you know, today we did. And I also love the fact that we can also share it, our own creations, but also learn how to do certain things that probably didn't know how. And the pandemic really helped us. Remember during the lockdown, there was nothing to do but cook and eat, right?
Exactly.
There was nothing to do. I remember, I think I added so much weight from baking bread and making, but technology, I do believe it's such a fantastic addition to bringing our children alongside it.
If we use it like that, then it's, you know, like you said, it's a perfect addition. So
would you mind sharing with us like how you help women eat clean? Because I think it's not just about eating, it's about also how you feel, it's about the energy you bring out. Tell us how you help women also just through nutrition feel confident, feel good about themselves, and also
So you're right, even at the beginning of my own health journey, I thought it was about my weight, right? And I saw the picture of me and I was like, I don't like that girl. I don't even recognize her. I don't know what she looks like. I don't know who she is. I didn't feel confident. I didn't feel happy. I never fit in my clothes properly. And I feel like that's always where it starts, is it starts with the weight, because that's what we see first and that's what we feel first, right? So that's a very valid point, is that it starts with the weight. But then once we start to dig in deeper and we realize why we're eating, right? Whether it's the pandemic or whether it's something that has, you know, happened and that's just our coping mechanism. I'm an emotional eater. So when if I'm angry or sad or whatever, I'm eating. And I know that, but I still struggle with it to this day. So being aware of what it is. And again, so going back to the tracking, when I start working with women, and again, it usually has to do with the weight or, you know, how they're feeling, I like them to be able to write down for 7 days at least, because that gives a good base. Yeah. Write it down, what they're eating, what time they're eating it, so we can get a good idea of that. But also too, I include how are you feeling when you're eating it and how do you feel after you eat it? That how can lead a lot into everything. So when you see the 7 days in a span, it's kind of like a graph, right? It writes a story of like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's happening. We can then take that and we can then say, okay, this is what we can do with it, or this is what's happening when you are eating. And again, it's a process. So results don't happen overnight. They're not going to, because it's taken you how many years to get to this point, right? Mm-hmm. And to feel this way. So even when you have a baby, right? It takes 9 months and you gain that weight. You're not going to lose it back the very next day. It takes time to be able to do that. So that's one of the things that I encourage and I talk about with my clients too, is that remember, this is going to take time. You have to give yourself grace. We talk about grace a lot in my programs, because as moms, we don't give ourselves grace. We feel like we have to do all the time. And
yeah.
Right? We have to say like, okay, I'm human. This is where I am. And this is where I want to be. And there are steps in here to do that. And so it does start with being aware. It starts with, you know, being aware of what's going into our body, so that then we can start to make those adjustments. And amazingly, what starts to happen is the better the food you're eating. Also too, some people respond to different foods in different ways. So we also want to make sure they don't understand why they're not feeling well. And it's because of the gluten that's in their diet, right? So if we can take a look at those things and also eliminate or add based on what they need, you immediately start to feel better with that, and then can make adjustments along the way, and proud and confident. And a lot of times too, it's not even at the end, then it's not about the weight. They realize why they were doing things and how they were able to make adjustments. And just doing that can automatically start to make them feel better and then more confident with making their choices too.
You know, one of the ways that I have purposed to keep eating clean is mm-hmm. also remind myself. I know we can get very busy, and here I'm speaking to the women who feel like they have so much to do, they keep forgetting about themselves. I have a phone that has an alarm clock. What I actually do is, as you say, when you're writing what you need to eat, time it. Like, I'll have breakfast at this particular time. If it's a family meal, my alarm comes on and it says family lunch or family dinner. But I also remind myself to drink water. So that is one thing that, and I tell my children, do not drink water because you feel thirsty. Make it a habit to just drink water so that your skin can be hydrated and your body can function properly. And so I have an alarm. My phone just buzzes all the time. So my children always telling me, Mommy, your phone is buzzing. And then I ask them, what is it? They say, it's a reminder for you to drink water. So I drink water. And sometimes the reason is when you decide you want to eat healthy, it has to be something intentional. I want to go into this journey. I have to put in some work, and where I feel I can go short, let technology help you at that point, you know? Yeah. The things that you feel you must have in your kitchen, just put them on a Google note and then put a buzzer or a reminder. It will keep reminding you. So really at this point, we can't say I forgot, because we have, you know, tools that can help us remember.
That's actually, I'm going to use that because you're right. There's nothing around us, because our Amazon carts are full of everything that we need, right? So we can add things to that. Actually, I have a client right now, and that is one of the things that we're doing, because she needs to develop a routine. And she needs to, her morning routine is just, she drops the kids off and she goes and she doesn't stop. And so we're putting an alarm in for those two things. We're putting an alarm in for her to stop and drink at least 8 ounces of water and for her to have breakfast, because she was not having the energy. She was having brain fog during the day, and it's because she's just running on coffee all day. And so, yeah, that same technique is okay. And it's a reminder also too, pausing in our day when we hear that alarm, pausing and just taking time for ourselves, because that is something else that we don't do. We don't do that enough. Let me take my water and know that I'm doing something good for my body, and it's going to help. And the more times you hear that alarm, your brain, right? It's like you're retraining your brain. So it's excellent. I love it.
So to our listeners, I just want to remind you that Christy works with busy moms to create simple, easy routines in the kitchen so that you can have a less stressed life and more time in your day. And I am a firm believer of not burdening myself to do everything. I know my limits and I allow myself to learn. I allow myself to get help. If you honestly feel you need assistance, mean that you're weak when you ask for help. And for me, I really am going to ask Christy for help to create routines in the kitchen, to create a very good menu that fits everybody, not just myself. And I hope that you can find yourself wanting to get help. And because we have technology, we are doing this via technology, I'm sure Christy is able to link with anybody anywhere across the world, right?
Had a cooking class yesterday with somebody from Greece in it. So yes, anywhere.
Absolutely. And I'm going to just post your contacts and your email so that people can get in touch with you. Look for opportunities to learn new things and also share new things from your side. So even as we wrap up, and maybe somebody has been so tough on themselves, they've been eating kale and broccoli and asparagus. I don't like asparagus, but we are eating roast potatoes or you know, fried food. How can we balance?
Remember that we are in control of our own bodies. I like to, if I'm going to a gathering or I'm going to I will take something. Yes, I'm bringing something to the host, but it's also something that I can eat as well. So I know that if there's going to be a lot of sugar and, you know, things around, I might bring a fruit platter or a fruit plate, because that is something to eat that I can, and I feel then a little bit more balanced. I'm not eating all of the sweets. So I always encourage my clients to really speak for themselves and have a voice and say, I choose me, because we want to enjoy it to our fullest. We don't want to feel awful. I get to have a voice, and it can be just things simple, even if it's like sparkling grape juice instead of the champagne, and just to be proud.
One last question. There is a space for children to create schedules with you as a parent. How can we involve our children to, you know, be part and parcel of that scheme, or we are creating habits within the house? How do we bring them into that space?
We invite them. So just again, we have to take off. I love what you said too about asking for help and about how we are not weak for asking for help. And that's where our family too, right? Our families can be our biggest supporter in this process. And when we are teaching them as well. So invite them and make it fun, make it, you know, something for them to do, and just say, hey, can you help me with this? You know, hey, I'm thinking about 3 meals this week. Is there something that you really want to have? And then allow them to speak up and say, yeah, I really like, you know, tacos. And then also too, allow them to come with you in picking out the ingredients. Allow them to come and be part of that. Because again, the more you're bringing them in and the more you're inviting them to be part of our world, they do take pride in that. And that is where also too, the learning takes place. We have to remember, if we're cutting them off and we're saying, no, this is mommy's job. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to decide this. And then we forget that they want to learn that. They want to know that, you know, we just have to invite them. We have to, who wants to help me this week at the grocery store? Let's go.
We need to change our mindset, because as you said earlier, the kitchen is not just a woman's space. So yes, just invite them, you know, come to the kitchen. Let's do this thing with everybody else.
Give yourself grace. Just give yourself grace. Know that you want the best for yourself and that you truly are working towards that. There's nothing that has to carry into tomorrow from today if you don't want it to. And so when we can stop and we can give ourselves grace and we can say, okay, you know, this is for me, I think that's the most important thing.
Thank you for allowing us to share this time with you. As you remember, we are still in a pandemic. Please take care of yourself, take care of each other.
Thank you.